there, listeners, and welcome to Garden Planet. You're with Karen and Selena.
Hello.
Welcome. Hi to Mai. We have an interesting topic for you today.
Yes, it is no-dig gardening.
You dig? No, I don't.
No, we don't dig in this one.
Really interesting concept. What got us into the discussion as to why I said we're doing a discussion on no-dig gardening?
We were too tired to dig? No.
I think, yeah, we were just talking about how over-cultivating, that's right, can... Sometimes cultivation is required, yeah. Don't get us wrong. Sometimes you really just need to get in there and toil.
Mm.
But sometimes, I believe, from my experience in the garden, it's best just to leave it.
Yes. It can be in some ways harmful for the worms and the roots already in the soil and all the fungi.
Yeah.
To keep...
I don't know if you... What do you call that? The bio... What's that word, Selena?
Mass? No.
I was going to say the ecosystem of the soil, but that's not quite the right word. Anyway, the whole...
Yeah. Network. The mycelium.
Yes, I knew you'd come up with that. That whole network in the soil that works together, all the microbes, structure of it. It's best sometimes just to not meddle too much with it, if it's working.
Yeah, if you know? It's not and it's just hard pan clay, well, maybe you might need to get some air in there with forking it over. But not... over-cultivating, because we can learn a bit from history there of what happened to the Midwest in America. Huge dust bowls.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So I read and watched some documentaries about that, and it was just heartbreaking how their farming methods there, and they didn't know. So, they just didn't know.
Mm.
But that entire area was grassland, but they wanted to take that land to from the Native American Indians to claim for themselves, or the white government of America of the time,
mm-hmm.
and just grow wheat on it to make lots of money and to settle it and to put their own stamp on it. And they just had... at the time, the 1930s, they had these newfangled tractors and plows.
I know, but it's so much fun driving tractors. Have you driven a tractor before? I would probably have done the same thing.
Just, yeah, ploughed up all the soil.
A white American settler.
And wanted to grow my own crops there.
And it's all so pretty and rose, and it all starts off so well. Yeah. And then what happened?
They had bonanza crops in the first couple of years, mm-hmm. and it rained and everything. But when the rains didn't come and the wind blew and the prices of wheat came down to really low, they couldn't sell it. And, the crops dried up and the wind blew. And because it's prairie, there's no trees around, the soil just blew away.
Yeah.
And there were these huge, huge dust storms that blocked the sky for days and days and buried everyone and choked everyone.
What part of America?
In the Midwest. So like Kansas, Dakota, all those middle states in there. And a lot of people starved and died.
Wow, that's sad.
That's terrible.
What sort of have they changed their practices now?
Yes.
Like, so they're doing crop rotation more, things like that?
Yeah, crop rotation, and they're not ploughing so much. I think they did have a kind of plough that would just pulverise the soil, so it was dust.
Yeah.
And it just blew away, and now they have proper sort of irrigation measures.
And gentler approaches.
And maybe mulching and that kind of
thing. Yeah.
Returning goodness to the soil.
I still think that there are certain states, especially with the warming of the climate, that are in trouble around the world, not just America.
Well, there's Australia.
I mean, a garden can, and this is something I would like to discuss in another session about how to garden in a drought.
Mm.
you know, at some point every garden is going to be under stress, whether yes. it's too much water, too much sun.
Yeah.
And I think the whole idea behind the no-dig thing is it almost builds a resilience there in yes. the garden, doesn't it?
Resilience is a key word.
Yeah. Would you say that?
Yes. So it can sort yeah. of sustain itself without a lot of...
Yeah.
Messing around. Not messing around, but...
Yeah, so the concept of no-dig gardening actually emerged in the 1970s.
Yes.
No surprise, really. I'm sure there are a lot of hipsters around there trying to find ways to work with the earth,
mm-hmm.
Which is great. And so the concept works as rather than digging the soil, you layer organic matter on the top.
Yes.
That's the basic concept. Like, did you want to add anything
yes.
to that?
So, like, in a forest environment, how no one's digging that up. The trees are naturally losing their leaves and the leaves are going onto the soil and then the organisms are breaking them down, so it creates the soil and the humus, they call it humus.
Nice, yes.
For the plants to get their nutrients from.
Yeah.
So they're not, like, churning up the soil at all.
Yeah, it's interesting, and that's another session I want to do, Selena. I know. It's
four sessions.
Yeah, I know. Stay tuned. but, like, just how nature and gardens, whether it's a forest or, you know, your backyard, if they create their own little ecosystems, don't they, like that? And, like, because in Auckland at the moment, we're in a drought, I think. Well, I definitely know, I was just chatting to my mum earlier, she's up north a bit, Warkworth ways, and she's on tank water.
Yes.
And we've had a few showers and a bit of drizzle lately, but they haven't had anything there. So it's so bad that all the water tankers have stopped taking orders. Because there's such a backlog of people needing water.
Yeah.
And we've still got February to get through.
Yes.
So,
driest month.
And my mum's a big gardener. She's always loved her garden. And she has said she's at the point now where, well, showering and drinking is kind of taking precedent over her watering her garden, which is a bit heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But she's just having to leave it.
Yeah.
Just having to sort of leave it be and just hope that, you know,
well, that's
they'll make it through.
Another topic called zero escaping, but we'll probably, another show on that.
So what happens is I've noticed a few of the trees around my yard are getting drought stress and dropping their leaves, turning brown and dropping. But again, that's a part of their survival process.
Yes.
And those leaves will drop to the ground and form a mulch on the ground, which helps retain any moisture that there is left. And it all works. It's quite interesting
and
to watch.
When the rain comes back, then it'll flourish again. So all is not lost.
So, so the whole no-dig philosophy aims to leave soil microorganisms undisturbed. So they basically do all the work.
The earthworms and our diggers.
Dragging organic matter into the soil and aerating and fertilising as they go.
Yay, worms. Karen, did you come across this name in your research, Esther Dean?
No.
Well, she was one of the pioneers of the no-dig gardening in the 70s.
Yeah.
She is from Australia. And that is how, according to the Reader's Digest and a lot of gardening books at the time, she pioneered that whole idea of no-dig gardening and even layering and gardening on concrete.
Wow, concrete.
So that you would, even if you didn't have any soil, you can just create a garden on top of that.
Interesting.
With all the different layers that you'd need a lot of material to begin with to create that, but... the whole idea was that you could just garden anywhere as long as you had the right layers of organic matter.
Yeah. And I'm not at all surprised to hear that Esther comes from Australia, because what better place to apply this concept?
Yes.
You know, like, obviously it gets dry there.
Poor Australians.
I mean, it was 37 degrees last night in Melbourne.
Oh,
I don't even know how they breathe. It's
Where were you when we had that 2 o'clock in the afternoon, night time? It was pretty scary. when the cloud, the sky just turned black.
Oh.
And thought it was, well, what's going on? That was all the smoke from the bushfires.
Yes, yes, I missed that. I was down south at the time. Oh. It sounded really exciting. I was getting lots of interesting pictures.
Well, at the time we were at the zoo.
Oh,
and we
wow.
were just walking around the Australia exhibit.
Oh, that is so...
ironic.
That's trippy.
Yes, and that was pretty scary. And it just reminded me of the Dust Bowl storms in America.
Yes.
How, yeah, that... you couldn't see in front of your nose, and the survivors of that time said.
Yeah.
So it was pretty bad.
Yeah.
And yeah, all yeah. that smoke, that dust in the air, it can block out the light. And so,
yeah, yeah, and also, let's not forget, cause quite bad respiratory issues yeah. as well in people. Like people in Australia that suffer from asthma and, or not even, couldn't breathe. We're no. having to stay inside because yes. the air was toxic.
Yeah.
It's not a nice situation. So, yeah, one no-dig garden at a time, I reckon.
Yeah.
Could help. Don't know about the farming. How could you apply this large scale?
Well, regenerative agriculture, as they call it, or biodynamic farming, they are... using lots of compost, not digging as much, or they
awesome.
Would use. The whole thing came about because of the machines, the tractors, and because
yeah.
if you were just digging normally, you'd just use a spade, right? You wouldn't
yeah.
be digging huge tracts of land.
Yeah.
But these tractors or rotavators and things were digging up huge
mm.
amounts of soil every crop season, like mm. every season, they'd just be turning
and,
it over.
And so not only creating like lots of dust and disturbing the soil structure and microorganisms and all that,
mm.
but also spreading unwanted seeds.
Yes.
As well, here, there and everywhere.
Dig up all those weed seeds and because they're disturbed, they'll just sprout even more.
So I wonder if they're actually, in the long run, making more work for themselves and end up losing money that
yep.
they'd have to then replenish the soils. I mean, I noticed that happened on the farm I grew up with. Every year the same crops were cultivated
yeah.
and eventually they stopped growing.
And then you'd have to get outside fertilisers in.
Yeah. And or else just leave the land, and we'd just leave like cows on the land just to
yep.
poop on the land and just rummage, you know, do their thing. And there would have to be a break from that cycle of constant
yeah.
cultivation. And it was heavy cultivation too.
Mm.
Yeah. So it was quite interesting reflecting back. As a child, I didn't really notice too much. But now that we do these shows and we talk about this thing, I do recall the crops, you know, there were some really bad years. And and the soil was just crumbling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
remember.
Like
yeah.
dust
just not in the best sort of robust condition
so
you want it to be.
Your soil needs to be a bit crumbly, but it also needs to be sticky, like and sponge-like. It can't be so dry that it'll fly away.
Yeah.
It needs to be something holding it together. So you want that nice structure to it, that air, and also humus, as they say, it's the good matter that your plants get the nutrients from.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want it to be, plants should be just growing in dust because, you know, that's no, all the minerals and stuff are not going to stay in.
No, they've got to be retained in there for the roots to absorb.
Yeah.
So did you want to give us a rundown on how to create a no-dig garden?
Okay.
Or I can help you. I've got my own little snippets here.
Well, there's various methods. In my own experience, I would actually fork over the soil that I already have just because I have clay soil.
Mm-hmm.
If you're creating a garden for the very first time, that's what you might do with a fork and just get that
and
air
got,
into it.
Yeah, and
you wouldn't so much as dig it over as in, like, dig and then,
Just open it up a bit.
Yeah, just open
and
it
then
up.
And then would you chuck on some gypsum?
Yes, I'll chuck on some gypsum. Some gardeners have said if you grow the first crop, like potatoes or, say, daikon radish, those root crops, they'll help break up the soil.
Yeah.
And you can harvest them as a crop, but if you just leave them in there and they leave them to rot, they create little holes in your soil so that the air can get into them. But you want a lot of soft green matter and compost to put on top so that you don't necessarily need to dig it in because you want the earthworms to actually do that work for you. But you need to layer on top of what you already have.
Yeah. So hang on a minute. What about, I just want to add this. Before you do anything, wouldn't you need to kill any perennial weeds by smothering? That's the first step I had before you, just for several months with a cover like carpet or plastic or something like that.
So what a lot of people do is they smother everything with wet newspaper, maybe 4 or 5 sheets thick.
Yeah.
Just so the light doesn't get into them and they can't grow.
Yeah.
And then that newspaper is going to rot down.
Yeah.
You're going to put all your compost and matter on top of that newspaper and leave it for a season or so they all rot down and then you'll get that nice soil back because the organisms in there are going to, rot down and sort of do that digging for you.
Yeah. Okay, so you could do it that way.
Yep.
The only reason the website I got it from on how to do this was just saying smother for several months to get rid of any of those weed seeds.
Okay.
And then you start layering after that.
Okay.
So you kill and then start layering.
Now, you're using wet newspaper or wet cardboard, you can just pretty much start your garden right on top sometimes
if you haven't got time to wait around you just get crack into it if you do I would probably try getting rid of the weeds first and then so you put down your wet cardboard or newspaper. I'd rather use cardboard than newspaper because I don't like all the dyes and stuff they use in newspaper.
So use your brown cardboard
and then what
of people say is use lucerne hay. This is a particular type of hay that you might readily find on the farm. Not straw, but hay.
Okay.
Lucerne hay. I don't know why lucerne, but that's what people
say. Interesting. I'll have to look into that.
And some people say I've had another sort of no-dig guru in this book called Lasagna Gardening say
that sounds fun.
Use peat moss, but I don't know that you can really get that here.
Sounds nice. Maybe.
But if you don't have lucerne hay, you might need to use grass clippings.
Well, the website I used suggested wet cardboard, then 10 centimetres of well-decomposed compost, and then straw, hay or grass clippings. Is there a strict...
I think as long as it's in layers, it doesn't matter. Sort of as long as newspaper or cardboard first.
Like lasagna. You don't want the whole thing of mince.
Yes.
And, barely any pasta. I mean, you've got to have it even.
Yes.
I consider myself quite a good lasagna maker, actually. I think I've finally nailed
lasagna.
It. And, so it's about getting those layers just at a nice sort of, ratio.
Yes.
Just so you get a nice, even sort of blend of everything,
it's
I think. It's quite
like
simple, really.
Making compost, really.
Exactly.
So decomposed compost, and then you want your manure or blood and bone.
Woohoo!
To activate the microorganisms and everything, and as your fertiliser. So you could have sheep pellets, you could have chicken poo, you could have horse manure.
Would you say blood and bone is an essential?
I think, and it provides the nutrients and to get that decomposing.
Yeah, it is a good one, eh? It does rev things up a lot, doesn't
we
it?
We always used it when I was doing contract gardening. Always had blood and bone and gypsum when we were digging and planting new plants. Always put some in the bottom of the soil hole.
Yep.
So that was just...
What is it in blood and bone? Is there a lot of nitrogen, I wonder?
I think it just is food for the plants that they need. Because it's...
I guess at the end of the day, when an animal dies, it does end up ideally in the ground.
Yes.
But you know, even if it dies on top of the ground and no one knows, it eventually ends up in the ground.
Exactly.
Cool. And gypsum is a soft sulfate mineral, by the way, if you're wondering what that is, guys. You can just grab it. It's pretty common.
So what the gypsum does, if you've got clay, it will bind the clay into bigger clumps so that there's more air getting in.
It's okay, I didn't look into the science of it. It intrigues me.
I think it's because of the calcium content. It won't change
lime your... Lime reacts with the sulfate somehow, binds...
Yeah, some sort of scientific chemical reaction happens.
But it's a good one. Chemical, there's good chemical... Don't think, chemical, because... Yeah. There's chemical reactions happening every microsecond of the day that are good and that are keeping us alive. Yeah. So that's a good one. So if you do have that sort of clay dense soil, that's a must have for me. That, and you reckon the blood and bone as well.
Yeah.
So they, your company or the company you work for would just sort of sprinkle both on?
Yeah. Yep. And this.
What, and do they dig it in or?
No, just water it in.
Hmm.
And put water, don't neglect your water with your layers because you want it nice and moist.
Yeah, it's like composting. You want to, I give my compost water every now and then. You don't want to drench it, you don't want to slop, but give it a bit of a drink.
And another thing I would add if you do have it is biochar.
Yeah.
Yeah, just to get the air into it and... Mm. Maybe you want to put a bit of mushroom compost if you can find it to get that good fungi action happening and get the soil alive, because that's what you want, a nice alive soil.
Yeah.
Well, it will create an alive soil ecosystem.
Do you reckon that the biochar is a really, I'm going to say key component, but...
I think... But
aliveness in your soil.
The carbon cycle, it just reactivates it, and the plants will love it because...
Have you found it to be really good?
I think I'll give it a few seasons. I see it's making a difference from where I applied it, from where
And you can just grab that at the...
You can make your own or you
You were trying to make your own. Is that still happening? We'll get back to you.
I'll get back to you on that.
Because I gave you, I gave you a whole bunch of sticks to burn. Have you not burnt them yet?
No, not yet.
I'll take that as a no. That's all right. You've been busy. You've been busy on holiday. Cool. I'm excited to hear how that works out for you, actually, Samana. Yeah.
And then leaves on top for your... I suppose your cheese.
Yeah.
Comfrey leaves are good.
Any sort of leaves. They said here even grass clippings on top.
Yep.
And then you just plant out your seedlings. Away you go.
And if your base of your newspaper or your cardboard hasn't rotted down, you don't want to wait. You can actually maybe use some potting mix to put, get your plants off to a good start just in your lasagna anyway.
Yeah.
I know some of us are impatient.
I still buy bags of potting mix. I sometimes just want to get things cracking. It's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Well, shall we at this point, is that all? Oh, have you got more to add?
No.
Shall we bring in the plant of the week this time? And maybe this could be the first thing you could pop into your lasagna garden.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia.
So plant of the week is thyme. And thyme, T-H-Y-M-E, not the time on your watch, is a herb.
I've got plenty of time for thyme.
Yeah. Is a really great herb to have in your lasagna garden.
It's good with lasagna too.
Well, I've got the different times of types of thyme, woolly thyme, lemon thyme, creeping thyme, pizza thyme, and chicken thyme.
Wow.
And the pizza and...
What's the stripy one called? The stripe, the thyme with the stripes down, that's pretty. Do you know that one? I like that one.
Yeah. Maybe golden thyme.
Yeah, I think, oh no, no, that's a thyme that's got golden coloured leaves. Okay. Anyway, there's another one. It's my, it's on the tip of my tongue. There's a lot, eh?
Yeah.
There's
so
a lot of thymes.
Various different thymes, good ground cover.
Important in these gardens, or any garden actually, a ground cover.
It's a perennial, so it'll stay there, and you just need to keep clipping it and using it, and you can dry the leaves and use them in your recipes.
Yeah.
It likes well-drained soil, so if you're making a no-dig garden and it's or lasagna garden, that is going to be well-drained because it's going to be built up, and there's a lot of air in around it, so it'll be well drained, very good, and especially if you're growing veggies. And
well, yeah, I think most gardens should be good draining, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you don't want thyme to be sitting in lots of water, it doesn't like that.
Yeah, most plants don't. Yeah. There are a few that'll handle it.
Yeah. But it just likes the sun and it likes well
draining. Agapanther's not a problem, though. They'll handle anything, but and other plants. But yeah, vegetables are a little bit more finicky.
Yeah.
So that's a good one, and if, I guess it's a good indicator if your thyme's growing well.
Yeah.
Then your other plants probably will be too.
I have noticed some plants in raised beds also good for making no-dig gardens. You don't really want to dig your beds up. You want to make your beds. And just good for edging and attracts the bees.
Yeah, they've got the cutest little white flowers.
Different colour flowers, actually. So you can have white ones.
Oh, yeah, my
you can
one's
have
white.
Pink ones.
The one at the community garden's brown at the moment. Wow. It's not good. We haven't heard anything more on that, by the way. We'll keep you posted.
You can use thyme to make tea, so just dry it and you can have thyme tea. I'm not sure that I. Oh, good for your colds and things.
I think it's been a herb that has been used for many centuries, actually, since...
Yes.
Well, I want to say the beginning of time, but...
Oh, here come out the bad puns.
I think in the medieval days it was used a lot and...
You can grow it in pots as well. Yeah. And even in between your paving stones, I've seen it
it's
used.
It's one of those things that once it gets going, it's there to stay.
Yeah, so.
I've actually been struggling with my little thyme plant back at home for many years, but it's hung in there and, she's a survivor. She's going strong now. There to stay.
So now we've run out of time.
Hopefully not in the garden,
no,
Selena.
But you won't run out of time if you plant thyme.
Hey, guys, I just wanted to leave you with something just to finish up the no-dig.
Yes.
There's a great website that I use to get my information.
Yeah.
Okay, grab a pen, www.nodigvegetablegarden.com.
Okay.
I'll just put in no-dig vegetable garden.
Wonderful.
I think it's an Australian website, so check it out. I've got lots of useful tips on what to do, what to plant, when to plant, et cetera, et cetera. So that could help.
Save your back, no digs. Happy gardening, everyone.
Cheers. See you guys.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.